When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 1017 of FRL. I'm bringing the intro with JD. Can't bring the energy. We got JD and Tacos that with us today. Lots of wrestling. I'm only here 30 minutes, boys. So let's get after it.
Yeah, Christian's flying home, so he's not on the show today. Ben is staying in D.C. An extra day or two to drain the swamp.
I'm draining it all, pulling the plug out.
Oh, Ben, how was Last Chance?
I'd say good and bad. We had got Lauren Louie to qualify. She crushed the competition on Saturday. It was really, really great to see. None of our high school guys got it done. And, you know, I guess maybe it is an over expectation that they're going to have as much success against the senior level. And you see other high school kids doing it, you think maybe they can do it. And they fought hard, but none of them came out on top. But it was a great experience.
I thought they all wrestled pretty well, your guys, though.
Yeah, Aiden was a little not warmed up for that McFadden match. And I was, we had a discussion about that, and hopefully it will never happen again.
But
a little shell shocked.
High schooler Jax Forrest did make it at 57 kilos.
Yes.
And my goodness, he put a whooping on Nato in the finals, even 10-0.
Really good.
What do we make of this guy?
He was kind of impressive all day. I don't remember who he beat up. I should go find it. He beat up someone first round, and it was like, okay, I mean, that guy's pretty good, you know? And you're thinking, okay, well, you know, yes, that guy's pretty good, and Jax beat him up, but there's going to be someone better than that, you know? But I'm pretty sure if I remember right, Jax kind of rolled all day.
And Nato rolled all day too. Yeah. Nato was pretty dominant to the finals.
Yes, Nato rolled all day also. He 10-0'd Courtney. Courtney Knox was a crazy match, and it was I want to say I was actually stepping on the mat to coach, and I want to say initially Knox had won the match and then went to challenge, and then he had lost to Courtney. Yeah. But I think Jax forced the man, he's the class of this bracket. It kind of, honestly, I'm interested to see how well he's going to do at the trials now. I would not be shocked at all if he won a couple matches. I'm not going to predict he makes a team or anything, but I think he'll do well for himself.
Who do you think he can't beat in the 57 bracket?
You know, I was thinking sometimes we watch something like this and we think, oh my God, he's so amazing. And we think like, well, given what we saw there, it's hard to imagine him losing anyone else, right? He did lose to a high school kid in Pennsylvania like a month ago, right? He lost to Davino twice. So, you know, it's like, will you match him up with someone like a Thomas Gilman? I think there's a chance Thomas Gilman just makes him look bad, you know, or a Spencer Lee. Like, they're just too powerful. Like, I think he's really good in all the wrestling positions.
You're saying Nato's not powerful?
He is, but, I mean, Nato hasn't had near the senior level success that Thomas Gilman has.
Right. Obviously,
like it hasn't. That those aren't really comparable.
I also thought,
but
I don't know why I thought Nato had retired.
I think he did.
I think he did for a while because I talked to him and he said he was coaching. He had talked to me about coaching for a while, and then he said he was back currently at the Ohio RTC training full time for 2024.
Yeah, because he was coaching in however you say it, Falls, Chattooga, right?
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga. I like Cuyahoga.
It's a CH, right?
You know what I was thinking though? I was thinking I made this comment last week about Jax Forrest and Bo Bassett. And obviously Bo was I mean, I guess we'll say not quite as impressive given the final, but he was very impressive. How is Jacks Forrest not going to get bored in high school in the next 2 years? I mean, he's just really – he should go wrestle on a college team next year. Like, no red shirt. Like, he would likely be challenging for an NCAA title, like, kind of right away.
We did a draft at the beginning of last college season, and David Bray drafted Jacks Forrest to his team because he knew he was going to go score a bunch of points in college opens.
At the open tournament.
Yeah. I mean, like, there probably is a chance he reclassifies. He is old for his grade, so.
Yeah. I just don't see how he could remain. Honestly, when I think about the fact that he lost to a Pennsylvania kid a month ago, it's like he probably had just to be bored, right? He was bored, and he's like, ah, this kid's not as good as me. And he kind of, like, probably took it too lightly, and then it was like, oh, crap. And you know what I'm saying? And a few things happened and went the wrong way, and then he lost. And then obviously, like, a couple weeks later, he 15-0s him. So there was obviously a skill discrepancy there. Like, he's way better. And so, you know, I guess maybe he was sick or something. But this kid's – he's the real deal. He's really, really good. You know, he should be competing at the senior level and college level because that's the level he's at.
I wonder if it's how hard it is to reclassify and get into, like, some of the best schools, you know, like if losing those credits, losing those classes makes it harder to get into some schools
like Michigan. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
But the mercenaries will find a way to get him in. If Jacks Forrest said, I'm coming to Michigan next year, mountains would be moved to make that happen.
Yeah. It seems like any school would be like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen. You know, outside of your Ivy Leagues that.
Yeah, with NIL, they would hire someone. Your job is to get Jacks Forrest into school ASAP. That's all your job is for the next 3 months.
You know what I heard this morning? Zach Edey, do you know who this has been? The Purdue basketball player?
Big tall guy.
Big tall guy. He's 7 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best player on their team. Right. Purdue's in the final tonight. He's been their best player for 2 years. He can't make money on NIL because he's from Canada.
No way.
So.
Trudeau, that's what he's
No, he's getting screwed. Why is that even a rule?
Man.
It has something to do with like his green card.
Or a Canada rule, because Canada's moderately socialist.
I would assume that's an NCAA rule.
It was the only reason that it's an NCAA rule is because the U.S. I don't know, man. I thought the NCAA changed the rules too.
Tyler, look that up. Google that. I only heard it this morning on a podcast. Wild. I didn't get too into it. But they also said there might be a backdoor way to make money. Back to Jacks Forrest.
Jacks Forrest, he's so good. He's really impressive. I'm excited to watch him compete in 2 weeks. Anthony Knox, I thought he acquitted himself well. It was disappointing he chose not to wrestle after losing to Brandon Courtney in that controversial match. He beat up on a guy who I think is good, but will probably never see the light of day at Penn State, Kale Nasdio. I think he's really tough. Knox kind of whooped him on the front side. And then we would have got to see Knox versus Desmond on the backside, but Knox did not wrestle.
Yeah. What do you make of Bo Bassett beating Ashnault, making the finals?
Yeah, it was really impressive. You know, his match, honestly, the fun match to watch was him in Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
It says 7-4. It was 6-4, and Valencia almost got a takedown of the buzzer, and they threw the brick, right, because he would have won 6-6. And that's what made it 7-4. It was good. I want to say he was down early, maybe like a 4-2, and came back and got a couple takedowns. He's another one. Like, he can compete. He beat up on David Evans, who's a Penn State wrestler, first round. He's not a starter, but he's had some, like, pretty solid results.
Yeah, he's wrestled a couple duels for him, too, I think.
Yeah, and then, you know, Valencia beat up on Jordan Williams, who was, a 12 seed at Nationals or something to that effect. So, I mean, these kids can absolutely compete with the college-level guys. They're really, really good, really skilled, can wrestle in a lot of positions. You know, even Pearson Manville, he got a win over
Ian Parker,
yes, early on. And I think Parker was winning that when he came back. And then the Ashnault-Manville match was weird because Ashnault was winning kind of like a controlled match and got his head split.
Yeah,
like
on the
really
top.
Bad with, on top. And so then the one ref started telling him, well, no, you need to have it like all the way taped up by the time your time's up or you're disqualified. So then, if you don't see, like, he just quick wrapped it and then the wrap actually falls off in like 7 seconds, but it was like kind of like panic mode, and you know, they let him finish the match. Yeah, that was a crazy one. So yeah, a lot of craziness in this bracket. But Matt Kolodzic, he won every match 10-0, I think.
Yeah, he put that basket train.
Yeah, 2-11-0 wins.
Yeah.
2-11. Okay, so 42-0.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good. I don't have any idea who Ruben Calderon is. I've never heard of him, but he tech-falled Dean Heil. Has anyone else ever heard of him?
No, I don't know who that is.
No.
Sorry.
No. Okay.
Henry Porter also took out Jaden Ironman.
Yeah, Henry Porter Ironman is a guy.
Okay.
He's tough. He's one of Daniel Cormier's guys from California. I think he's at Indiana or Purdue or something.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indiana. Yeah.
I'd have known he was a California guy. I would have expected.
Yeah, but then Ironman got 10-0'd by Anthony Valencia on the backside.
Oh, also. Really?
Anthony Valencia.
Aiden Valencia?
Yeah, him too. Him too. Yes.
It's kind of
you know what I did not put together, which, you know, sometimes I feel so stupid for not putting things together. So on Saturday was the women's in Greco, and Valencia's dad is there, and he's wearing an Iowa shirt. I'm like, I swear to God, Aiden Valencia is going to Stanford. I'm almost certain of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird that he's wearing an Iowa shirt. Maybe he really likes Iowa. I don't know. Maybe Aiden's got some NIL. I don't know, right? Weird. Why is he wearing an Iowa shirt? And then I'm sitting down and watching this match, and he's kind of like sitting over there. And I look at the last name, and it's Valencia. I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid. His daughter wrestles Iowa. Iowa.
Yeah.
So dumb. Right?
50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She won it. Uh-huh. Yes. So he's really good. He can make an impact. Aiden Valencia can definitely make an impact on the college scene next year.
With these high schoolers beating these guys, it's kind of like, you know, how much are these guys actually training, you know, at this point? Yeah. But then you say, like, NATO stopped coaching to focus on making the Olympic trials and so he could train full time. So some of them, I think, are just tossing their hat in the ring, kind of like hanging around. But you still feel like, okay, well, they should be able to, you know, just like outstrength these 16-year-olds.
Yeah. But then you talk about, hold on, you talk about someone like David Evans, right? So he got tech-falled on the front side by Bassett, and he got tech-falled on the backside by Aiden Valencia. He did beat Pearson Manville 12-11, right? So he had that. He wrestled three high schoolers. But he's a guy. He lost to Kasek in overtime. He lost to Kasek 4-2. You know, he beat Jordan Hamden, who's an NCAA qualifier. He beat CJ Composto, who's been an All-American. Like, he's got some really good results at the college level. He's a really tough dude, and they both just smoked him.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And it seems like this is going to be the new norm moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just one or two guys that are doing this. There's a whole, like, now the top 10, 15 on every big board are going to have this potential.
Yeah, it is weird, though, because, like, you say top 10, 15. It does feel weird because, like, you know, an Aiden Sinclair or a Cole Mirasola, you know, they got to be top 20, I would assume. I don't know where they are on the big board. But, you know, they weren't able to get it done against senior level. It does and I don't know, you know, I was thinking about this because it's not like me making excuses, but it's like the smaller guys.
Huge advantage.
It feels like a maturity advantage, but then it's like, well, NATO's a full grown adult. Like he's a man, he's 28 or whatever, you know, like, so that doesn't really make sense. I don't know, but when you see like the bigger guys, they look a little more mature, but then, you know, when you think about it from a logical standpoint, it doesn't really make sense, but it does seem for whatever reason that, you know, the smaller guys are having a little more success. Or there's more of them having success than at the upper weights.
I think it's got to be some sort of like maturity thing, though, right?
You would feel like it, but you know, you think about like what doesn't make sense, like NATO or, you know, some of these other guys we brought up, or they're plenty full grown adults.
Well, I'm talking about the high school kids. Like it feels like. Hmm. Which that also doesn't make sense because you would think smaller guys are less mature, actually.
Less mature.
Yeah. But I feel like those bigger guys have grown man strength.
I mean, you could even, but like Connor Mirasola did beat Max Dean, right? So you could do that. And like a couple years ago, Gable Steveson was like right there with Adam Kuhn. And I forget who else he beat. But I mean, you do have those examples of the bigger guys.
And Bassett and Forrest and Marcus Blaze, they do look kind of baby faced. Like they don't look like full grown men yet.
I feel like it's more common with the ends, but less common with the middleweights. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah. There was a few good ones that I mean, so we had a high school kid competing at 74. He won a couple matches and he lost to Vincenzo in the quarters.
Joe Seeley was right there with Yaya or two, right?
Who's that?
Joe Seeley.
Joe Seeley. And I want to say Grigger had a pretty good tournament, if I remember correctly. So Seeley, let's see. Seeley lost to Yaya in the quarters. And then so Elroy Perkin, Wisconsin Whitewater, stand up. Elroy Perkin took out Joe Seeley and he took out Grigger. He said, no high school kids are going to go with me today. 10-0, 10-0.
Hey, was the Josh or John Gunderson?
Gunderson, he had a day, boy.
I know. Was he one of your guys? I know he's Wisconsin.
Well, he wrestled at our AWA Madison facility with Tristan Moran for the last, year and a half, 2 years of his high school career after we opened up. And he was there, you know, so we took over that facility in Madison and he was already going there and then he continued to go there. Matt told Parker Kett guy, I said, you better watch out, bro. I watched John Gunnerson today, smashed some dudes. He might come to the starting spot.
Yeah.
Bro, he beat Nelson Brands 10-0 twice. He beat Foca 10-0 and he tech-vaulted Taylor Lujan. Like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Holy crap. What a day.
And he's in his he's finishing his second year at UNI, I think. Or third.
You're right. But so you know what he did? So he placed at the Senior U.S. Open last year. No, he's finishing his third, but he has 3 years of eligibility because he wrestled his first year. They needed someone at 97. Then he redshirted, and he placed at the U.S. Open, so the Olympic redshirted him this year. And he was kind of funny. Yeah, so he's got 3 years of eligibility because they wanted to bump him up to heavyweight for a while because he's kind of big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just couldn't get big enough for heavyweight, and so now he's leaning back out. So you know, I don't know what the plan is there with Volker and Parker. And you know who else just wrestled, again, up a lot of weight? Lance Runyon, who was a pretty good guy from Iowa.
Tank.
He was a 174, though, and he wrestled at 213. And he didn't look – he wasn't shredded or anything, but he didn't look out of place.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Christian Carroll yet at 97.
Oh, yeah. He looked really good.
Yeah.
He looked I actually mentioned when I walked in the gym, I was talking to Christian and he just looked a lot healthier than I think last year maybe he was trying to bulk up too much or something and he had a lot of weight on him that maybe wasn't good weight. And you could just tell he just looked a lot healthier, a lot better. And then he obviously wrestled really well too.
So we back in on Carroll? Because I feel like super high coming out of high school, obviously, and then expectations got tampered. He didn't have a great year or two, but now.
What weight do you think he's going to go in college?
That's my worry. Yeah. He looks like one of those guys. You know, another guy who would be kind of in this vein would be a Braxton Amos, who's like really big for 197. 197 is really hard, but then like you're still like kind of small at heavyweight, and just maybe don't have stylistically because obviously we have had guys who were say 230 and the won NCAA titles. But there's some guys that stylistically the bump doesn't work or make sense for them. So he looked really good, but he does look big. Like he did not look small next to Jacob Warner, and Warner was always a big 197. And obviously that was a solid 213.
Should there be a weight class like high school?
220?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No. I think the rumor was even before Last Chance is that he was – dropping down to go 197 next year, Christian Carroll.
I wouldn't be opposed to changing 197 to like 205.
That I like that idea. I don't hate that idea at all.
Bump it up two pounds.
20 pounds
from 184.
Well, you can bump. You can even bump 184 up a few pounds, and then bump 197 up a little more. I don't hate that at all. I think that would actually be a good fit, and given what our international weights are, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because we have a college weight of 197 and heavyweight, and in freestyle we have 189, 202, 213 and heavyweight, right? So it's kind of like not set up properly.
I kind of think the international, there's a little too much in that,
the uppers.
92, 97, yeah. 125. It gets a little watered down a little bit.
So in college you have two weights, and in freestyle you have four, right?
Yeah.
So don't disagree. Let's make it
split the difference. Let's make it three and
Well, let's move the freestyle weight classes down, right? So let's go heavyweight 210, 195, and then we'll keep sliding. We'll keep sliding, right, to make more towards the middle, because that's where we need them. Mm-hmm. And then in freestyle, then we can go, in college we could do the same thing. We bump 184 up a little bit. We bump 197 up a little bit, and now we have a very like similar situation in both styles.
Yeah, I don't hate it. All
right. No, we're solving the world's problems right here on FR.
So we'll get more into kind of Olympic trials previews next week and whatnot. But let's talk specifically about the guys who qualified here. Start with Jax Forrest. How much of an impact is he actually going to play at Olympic trials?
Oh, there's two guys we didn't talk about.
Tenzo.
Dave McFadden looked really good. Yeah. Tech falls, unfortunately, for – Aiden Techfall his way through the tournament. Techfall, Morgan McIntosh in the finals. It was
laced
competitive for a while, and he got laced him up. He looked really good. And then heavyweight, I didn't know this dude wrestled anymore. Jerron Smith, he was a Maryland guy, if I remember correctly.
Terpy.
I feel like it's been a while. Am I wrong?
Couple years, not that long.
2022, I remember him being on.
Oh,
or maybe
am
last
I thinking of the wrong guy then?
He wrestled at least in 2023, I think.
Yeah.
Because I remember ranking him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because Ron Smith and Jackson Smith are on the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And David McFadden, he broke his ankle or foot at Senior Nationals. I think he's only been on the mat for like 6 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
six weeks is a good clip.
Yeah.
His takedown was awesome. His counter score was slick. Didn't look like a man who had just broken his ankle.
Yeah, there was one sequence though that I was like in disbelief. They ended up just white paddling it and saying nothing happened. They were in a far ankle scramble, and Dave McFadden was grabbing the man's shoelace. Like it was like pulled up like 6 inches off his shoe, right? Because he was pulling on it so hard. And then when he got caught, the ref blew the whistle, pointed at it. And so I thought surely he'll get a caution. He's like, my finger stuck. But it was like he was like clearly like hooking his finger. It was so funny.
My finger got stuck.
And then they talked about it, and they gave no points. It was wild.
Hey, you got to play the game sometimes.
Yeah, got to play the game, I guess. That's so funny.
All right, let's start at 57. All Jax Forrest. Is he going to be a player at Olympic trials?
I could say. I could see him beating like a Liam Cronin, DeShazer. I just have a hard time seeing like Gilman Fix, Spencer Vito, maybe, like those guys.
What about Zane? What about Zane Richards?
Yeah, him as well. I would think no.
I'm giving him a shot though.
Okay.
I mean, after what he just did to Nato, and then it's like I could see Nato and Zane having a really close match. I wouldn't predict. Sir. I wouldn't predict Jax to win, but
Jax seems like a
not
really
ruling
like,
it out.
Weird wrestler to wrestle for like the first time.
Oh yeah,
especially in freestyle. So I would not be shocked to see him do anything really. I mean, there are some
anything.
I don't want to Shane Sparks it. There's definitely some things I would be shocked to see him
shocked.
Do. There's definitely some things I would be shocked to see him do, but. I there's a lot. I think he can do a lot.
Yeah, I'm curious where they seed him. I know also he's trained with Dayton Fix a lot in the past, so that would be kind of funny if they met like first round. Obviously, you roll with Dayton Fix, but
yeah.
So that'd be like a three seed. Yeah, I would say like in that match, that's like where it's like Dayton just feels like he's gonna have too much power. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he's gonna be able to control and push around, and he's probably not gonna need to take the risks that would put him in the situations that Jax Forrest could win type thing.
What if Jax catches one of these guys right off the scale after a bad weight cut?
Mm. And that's a possibility.
So
Jax kind of looks a little big also, though.
He's tall, but he's pretty lanky.
Pretty skinny, but yeah, he doesn't look small for that weight class.
No. So Vito will be sitting to the semifinals at that weight, but nobody's sitting to the finals. So
yeah. All right. Klodzik, I just think we've had too many previous results.
Yeah. We kind of know where he's
some good guys, but he's probably not going to beat the top run guys. You know, I was looking at this one, really 1 through 6. If any of 1 through 6, and I guess you got to include 8 being Mendez because he just beat Bartlett and Bartlett's 5. If any of them made the team, I don't know that I would be all that surprised. So it's Nicolay, Yanni, Alirez, James Green, Bo Bartlett, Joey McKenna. I skipped Caleb Larkin, which maybe I shouldn't have because he's really good. Also,
he beat Mendez.
And he beat Mendez and Jesse Mendez. But so if I include Bartlett, I feel like I have to include Mendez given what we just saw. So maybe I stop. But then, yeah. Then I feel weird about not including McKenna. So then, yeah, I don't know. We'll just throw the top 8. Anyone in the top 8 wins, I'm not surprised.
Don't forget, I don't know if we've talked about on this show, Zane is going down to 65.
And Zane Rutherford.
He'll be sitting in the semis. And you know what? I'm not, we'll talk more about it later, but he might be my pick.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, if any of these top 8 guys can win and somebody with an advantage to the semis, you feel like that's like maybe the safest pick.
Right.
Yeah. True.
Is it kind of crazy that U17 champs get to qualify for the Olympic trials, or am I?
Oh, crazy. Crazy.
You think it's crazy too?
It's insane.
I don't hate it. I mean, just look what just happened.
I mean, it's fun to see. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're you have to be a world champion.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even make the team. So you're old enough.
I see what just happened, but he actually beat, like, he had to beat senior level guys to get there. Whereas like, a U17 world champ doesn't have to.
But he wasn't even a world champ.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I'm saying, so somebody went out there and did better than he did at Worlds.
Last year.
True. Last year.
So, you know, a whole year ago, with the kids that young, like, they get so much better.
Let them go there and get spanked. Like, why not?
I mean, yeah, it's fun. Sure. For sure. But, yeah, I don't know. You know what? You're right, JD. Yeah. I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm. 63, Vincenzo. I think we've seen where he stacks up. I think, you know, he could be as good as number 3, but I have a hard time seeing him beating Noel for Burrows.
The top tier here is so good.
And there's some other, you know, I could see Keegan beating him. I could see Soraki beating him. I could see Mitchell beating him. So, yeah. So I don't think he's super threat. And then I feel similarly about McFadden.
Yep. I do too. You know, just Brooks and Taylor are different. He could definitely win some of the lower seeded matchups, though.
Yes.
You know, him versus Parker would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then 97, I mean, I feel like that's one where maybe up to Nate Jackson, I would say that he's kind of, Christian Carroll's kind of, you know, a threat for, or we could see him getting some wins against those guys. But, you know, when you go Nate Jackson above, I have a hard time seeing it, and not saying it's impossible, just saying it's maybe doubtful.
Yeah, some of those bottom couple seeds at 97, you got Slim Tone, Anthony Cassiope, Schultz, JLO, Nate Jackson. So, you know, maybe Christian Carroll could beat a Cassiope, a Niello, a Schultz.
Yes.
Slim Tone.
125 kilos, Jerron Smith. Kind of similar. He could beat, like a Trent Hilger, a Demetrius Thomas, a Gary Traub. But when you start getting up into the Gwiz, Zomer, Mason Paris tier, it's going to be tough. So.
I agree. All right, hey guys, 10 o'clock. That was actually, I don't know how we ended that perfectly at 10 o'clock with those. It's perfect. Hey, can you, Tyler, on my way out, can you brag about your Mission Mercenaries? They got another athlete. I know we're talking NIL on Thursday, but maybe you can brag about how they got another athlete signed up for next year. And then also, Oklahoma State is going hard in the portal. They got both Caleb Fish and Dean Hamidi committed.
265s. Who's moving?
All of them. Oh, I bet Hamidi. Hamidi would be my guess.
Hamidi bumping up. Okay, we'll talk more about that on Thursday. We're not done. Ben's done. But
I'm done. See you guys. Have a great day.
See you, Ben.
Bye, Ben.
Me, Kozak, and Tyler are going to hang out for a little bit longer. What should we get into?
Well, does Tyler want to address the Michigan?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Michigan, first of all, only really goes for grad transfers, if you'll allow me to defend them real quick, because that's just – it's hard to get undergrad transfers into Michigan. So, like, a lot of time you're dealing with guys who've already finished their undergrad at their school that they come from, and they're just looking to further their education, baby. So, Jacob Cardenas was a perfect fit.
I hate the whole we have to defend picking up transfers. It's the game now. Like,
yeah,
who cares if they're a grad transfer or not? Like,
yeah,
it's not immoral to pick up transfers. It's just the game now.
I think if you're going to complain about how far and away Penn State is, and then also complain that people are getting transfers, I think like you have to realize that the only way anyone's going to catch up to Penn State is by playing that game right now, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at any other big sport, like, it's happening way more in college football. And even in, like, women's basketball, I was watching this weekend, there's a girl who's already played on two teams, and she's in the transfer portal now to play on a third team. It's like, that's just
that's showbiz, baby.
Athletics. Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's the world we're living in.
Did you find that Zach Edey situation for me, Tyler?
Yeah, it basically has to do with immigration laws preventing him from being able to sign name, image, and likeness deals. I don't know if that has to do with, like, visa stuff or what, but
I heard it had something to do with, like, his, like, green card situation.
Yeah.
It's insane. Matt Ramos posted a funny picture of him and Zach Edey.
Really? He's just way taller.
Obviously, he goes up to, like, his belly button. Like, halfway up his torso. Because he's probably he is, I think, 7'0" and probably like 200. And
did he post it on Instagram?
Yeah, but I think it was a story.
Oh, okay.
So it might be gone. Was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday, though.
It's not there anymore.
Not there anymore. Must have been 2 days ago. Yeah. R.I.P. Caitlin Clark. She couldn't win a title. Sorry, Hawkeye fans.
She tried her hardest in the first quarter.
Yeah, and she didn't have much left for the last three.
I don't know. That was a fun game. I don't want to talk about it too much. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it too much.
Wow, you don't want to talk about, is Caitlin Clark a bust? If she never won a team title? She's not the GOAT? Nah, she's the GOAT. What else? So, should we talk Euro qualifier?
Yeah, do we want to talk about Chamizo? Corruption?
Oh, my goodness.
Homeboy got robbed.
Yeah.
Josh, if you're in the doc, I put the link in there to the match so we can watch. So if you didn't see, Chamizo's wrestling Bayramov, who actually Keegan wrestled at.
Keegan pinned him.
Was that U23s or was that juniors?
Yeah, juniors.
Yes.
U20s.
I couldn't remember which one it was at. He pinned him at U20s. Should also be noted, he's Azerbaijani. This was in Azerbaijan.
Coincidence?
I don't know. But he gets up 6-0 on Chamizo on a 4-2. And I actually thought, Chamizo turned down. I didn't think he landed in danger.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't review that. Chamizo didn't challenge. So, and then Chamizo kind of starts chipping away until the end. And then with 30 seconds to go, I think Bayramov is up 8-6.
Yeah.
Chamizo.
Before that, there were a couple of slip calls that.
So one of them, no, it wasn't a slip. Chamizo stepped on his foot.
Oh.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
So with 30 seconds to go, he takes him down, but he did the foot stomp and tackle, which is not allowed in freestyle. You can't step on feet. Snyder has been called for that a couple times. So I think that's what they called. Anyway, I assumed because he definitely stepped on the foot, took him over, which that is kind of like actually one of his favorite takedowns when he actually doesn't counter when he has to be on the attack. But so they wipe that off. And then so Chamizo's sprinting at him and they stop it as he's taking him down because they went caution and one.
Yeah.
But he clearly like took him down, but I think they did technically blow the whistle, stand back up, and the same thing happens.
Caution one.
Another.
Yeah.
Caution and one.
Takedown happens.
As the takedown is happening, Schmeisel's like, "You gotta let me work here. Like, you can't caution and one him, you know, right now." And then so there's like 9 seconds left, and he goes and gets the takedown.
Gets behind, the knees down
for a split
time's on
second.
The clock. Yeah.
It's like rear standing position. Chimizo's coming behind, and Bayramov's. It looked like knee was down to me. Mm-hmm. The announcers are like, "That's a takedown. He did it.
Like, oh, he did it.
He did it." There's there's clearly time on the clock. There's 1 second left, and they review it and they wave it off. Not even the call on the mat was takedown. 2 points.
The weirdest part was the commentators were so certain that Chimizo was going back to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes.
The whole time they were reviewing, like, yeah, he's got it. He's got it. And then they're just like, no takedown.
Yeah. So pretty insane. Chimizo, he's like at the official, like, the heck, man, really? Like, he's like kind of protesting. Bayramov comes up to him and he's all happy. And he's like trying to like hug him. And Chimizo's like, get off me, dude.
Yeah, he didn't want to leave the mat.
No.
He's like, I know what happened here.
Yeah.
He made an Instagram post.
He did. He said, my sport is beautiful but corrupt or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, kind of sad. And it's not going to be easy to qualify because you look at the other 74-kilo qualifier, Cotty takes out Big Sulk.
Yep.
Big Sulk is no easy matchup. Has he beaten Chimizo? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, always at Euros, he beats.
Yeah.
Chimizo. Yep.
Yeah,
Cotty. So Cotty's back in the Olympics.
Yep.
So I would love to see. I mean, if Dake makes it, it'd be great to see a rematch between those two at the Olympics this year.
Right.
Fun.
The match we were denied of.
Mm-hmm.
At Worlds. Yeah. So
and then Russia qualified.
They qualified 86 and 97. And
97, even without Sajulayev there.
Looking at for USA, 65, the Albanian, the Russian transfer, Dudayev is probably the best guy that didn't make it out of Euros.
Yeah, he's tough. He didn't make it. And then Keijon Clark didn't make it either, which I thought he had a pretty good draw. But yeah, he didn't make it. But really, 65's at Euros isn't too bad. It's going to be interesting at Asians coming up in 2 weeks. That'll kind of really tell us. But the good thing this year, too, is there's three qualifiers at the last one rather than just two, which is how they used to do it. I feel really good about 57. I feel like 57, we should be able to get it done, whoever USA sends. But, yeah, 65 is probably more up in the air.
Who does 65 like?
Well,
who would have to beat?
So India isn't qualified yet. Japan isn't either.
But they can both qualify at Asians.
They could both qualify, yeah. And then Dudayev and Arashanyan, who beat Keijon Clark from Ukraine, he's good.
I still feel pretty good about qualifying 65.
Yeah,
you feel better because you can take third to qualify now. You don't have to just make the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, as more guys qualify, I'm not saying it's a done deal. I mean, we didn't get it done at Pan Ams, obviously. And
yeah,
last chance qualifier is going to be just as tough, if not more tough. But then you kind of look at, you know, some of the guys that didn't qualify, like the next tier of guys that didn't qualify here at Euros. It's like, I like our odds here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if, you know,
they're not insurmountable.
Yeah. No, I think it would be it would take like an upset to lose.
Yeah.
As long as we could go there and not.
India,
yeah. And that's also kind of what I'm banking on.
Yeah.
Too, is both of those countries qualifying at Asians.
Yeah.
Who's Japan's rep going to be?
The guy who beat Odaguru's name is like Kyoku.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't really done anything internationally. So.
And it won't be Bajrang.
Yeah.
I forget the Indian's name, but Boshring didn't even make it to the match to wrestle that dude.
I think it's the guy who beat Yanni a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
I thought Boshring was like not wrestling. He was like still
protesting.
Protesting, yeah.
But I think he did come back and try and make a run.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. That was unsuccessful. Let's see. So we got to Last Chance. That was Euro qualifier talk. Man, this Penn State draft.
Oh, yeah. I was gone for this. What did you guys do?
So we drafted all-time Penn State wrestling team. CP won both the Twitter and the Instagram.
JD went an unconventional route.
I'm so sick of Christian winning things. I'm so serious. Like,
CP got to go first, and he got the real advantage because
he got to go first.
Well, we random drew.
I flipped a coin.
Of course he got to go first. He probably demanded it and forced you guys to let him go first. Classic CP.
When I selected Andy Matter last, I knew I wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows who he is.
Except the real historians who don't waste their time on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah, if you want to win the draft, you just have to draft the big names.
Exactly.
I saw...
Because all the comments were like, where's RBY? Where's RBY? Nick Lee?
Yeah.
So, I don't... I wouldn't want to win this pool. Because... Well, okay, so I screenshotted it, and here's how smart our followers are. The top comment after, so it's literally in the screenshot that I took. The top comment is, where's Spencer Lee?
Exactly, yeah. Great question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
The dude didn't wrestle for Penn State, so that's the kind of company Christian is keeping.
So what is the like point? It's just supposed to be like, who would score the most points at NCAAs?
It's or just like, hypothetical. It's just like, whose super... team do you want most?
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, he had the advantage because there's a clear like top seven. And so Christian going first, we did snake draft. He got to choose three in those top seven with Ed Ruth. So after Ed Ruth, my next pick was Kerry McCoy.
Christian always makes sure he has an unfair advantage, dude.
Which... obviously, there's like a drop off in name recognition,
right?
When you go from Ed Ruth to Kerry McCoy, and then it's you go from the four and the three timers to the two timer champs. Just to I don't have to, but just to rehash here, Andy Matter, two time NCAA champ, only two career losses, didn't get to wrestle as a freshman because those were the NCAA rules back then. And he didn't get to wrestle back in his sophomore year because those were the rules back then. It was like repechage. So Nick Lee, like he wouldn't have, he wrestled back, you know, to what was it? Fourth, his freshman year.
Someone said no Nick Suriano was wild.
He did help him win the title that year. Okay. I don't know. Should we get to some questions? What else is chat saying?
We can.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get to questions, David, Bray, and I went to Space House yesterday.
Which one?
Yeah, I know. The one that Ollie lives in. And we were helping him cut down some dead trees. And it was right after Jax won. And we're talking about Jax, Bo Bassett. Where do you think those guys go to college? And with Bo Bassett, and I guess even Jax too, what are the chances that they go somewhere other than like Penn State,
Iowa, or Pennsylvania?
Iowa? And I know Jax really like has a relationship with Oklahoma State too. So I don't know if we want to talk about that at all. I don't know if we can talk about what you're planning on doing too.
What am I planning on doing
over the summer?
Oh yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, and just yeah, what do we think? Where do we think they're going?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't. I have no relationship with them or their families, really. I do know. So the only connections, really, for Bo would be, okay, they're in Pennsylvania, and they have, like, Penn State decals, like, in their wrestling room. So there's a fan aspect there where, you know, I'm sure they, you know, would love to wrestle for Penn State just in the sheer fact that they're fans.
Yeah.
of the guys and, you know, how they wrestle. There's also the Young Guns in Iowa connection.
Yeah.
Jody Strip Matter sent a lot of guys to Iowa, although not as many in the past couple of years. Those are like the only two connections mm-hmm. really that I know of.
What do you think, Tyler?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know why. Like, so I'll talk about what you brought up. I don't know if anyone who listens to this podcast saw what I did last summer with Anthony Knox, where I spent like the day with him before he got all his recruiting calls. But I'm going to be doing that with some of the Bishop McCourt guys this year. And ahead of that, I went to the Pennsylvania State Championships to just kind of like be with those guys a little bit. And in talking to them, they seem very open to everything. I mean, Bo Bassett went out of his way to make that Instagram post a while ago. Yeah. Say, like his
oh, yeah, every team. Like I forgot about that.
Schools or something. So I don't think that they're dead set on anything. I remember I was talking to Jax's dad, and he was like, yeah, a lot of people are thinking like, oh, he's just a done deal to Oklahoma State because he trained with Dayton, or, oh, he's a done deal to Penn State because of that. Like, mm-hmm. And his dad made it clear to me that he.
Yeah, you're open.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Everybody's open, but, I mean, a lot of times they end up going kind of where we think they're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you think
to one of these?
I mean, yeah.
Probably Penn State or Iowa.
Yeah. Bo, to me, just feels like Iowa, like just off of vibes. I don't have any, like, no.
It's like traditional Hawkeye style.
Feels like Iowa. And then
loves that stuff.
Jax feels like Penn State. That's just, like, the way he wrestles. He just feels like a Penn State.
Oh, also kind of wrestles, I don't know, he reminds me a little bit of, like, David Taylor.
Really?
I don't know. Just in terms of pace and just, like,
yeah,
a body awareness.
I mean, yeah, I see it. And you look at, here's a question for you guys. Is the Iowa style, quote unquote, dead at Iowa?
Yeah.
I mean, look at their team this year. Like, I'm not trying to bash them. Like, they were really good, but
who fit the Iowa style?
Yeah, nobody fits the Iowa style, quote unquote, anymore.
Yeah, Ayala, not really. Real Woods, no.
And even like Spencer Lee didn't fit the Iowa style mold.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was quite the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. He was way more techie in the first or second period.
Documented that he didn't score as many points later in the match.
Right.
And would physically, clearly get tired. Like, there's nobody who is like, okay, they're going to break you with their pace.
Yeah.
They don't have that Mitchell Messenbrink.
Right.
On their team.
Right. No, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. So does Iowa need
someone? Does Iowa need Bo Bassett?
Yeah, that's the question. Do they need Bo Bassett to bring back the
Iowa style, the brand?
Angelo Ferrari.
He doesn't wrestle the Iowa style. He wins close matches.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm thinking of like the when he wrestled Joe Seeley and who's number one a couple years ago. He just like went after him. But you're right.
I mean, definitely. In all fairness, I feel like the Iowa style, quote unquote, hasn't really been a thing for
since
a couple years.
DeSanta? Yeah, I guess that was a couple years ago.
But, and I think that might be one reason why some Iowa fans are getting frustrated. Because, well, one, they have insane expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Iowa just won a team title in 2021, probably would have won it in 2020.
And it feels like forever to the fans, yeah.
It feels like forever, and when your top rival is winning every other year, it's not like a shared, it's here's who we have to beat. And now fifth place, which for 99% of college teams is a solid finish. For 90% of teams, it's an unreal finish, right? You know, there's a couple teams where maybe you're not satisfied with that finish, but you'll take it. Iowa and now Penn State are probably the two teams where you're unhappy with a fifth place finish at the national tournament. So one, they have crazy, maybe unrealistic expectations because of what Dan Gable did, and slightly, I guess, to what the brands were doing 10 years ago when they were putting out championship teams. And to now you see another team doing it, which you were doing. Penn State is now doing what Gable was doing and going on crazy runs. But
yeah,
what else I'm trying to say is they're not losing. When they lose, when individuals lose for them, they're not doing it in the Iowa style. They're not maybe coming out, inching their way back, you know. You see some of their guys.
If we had two more periods, we would have won. Yeah,
right. They can't say that in a lot of the matches they lose.
I think wrestling has just evolved to a certain extent where it's not as easy to do that. I mean, with the three-point takedown, maybe, but I feel like guys are just like, I don't know. I feel like that a lot of the time, like 20 years ago, the guy who won was the guy with the best gas tank. And I don't always think that's true in the last 10 years.
Guys aren't going out and crushing butt heavies after a duel anymore and coming back and cutting 20 pounds every week and falling over in the third period.
Yeah.
Well, what's also interesting is I said the same thing to David yesterday. I was like, man, I feel like Bo's Iowa, Jax's Penn State, just because of like, their styles. And David was like, well, Penn State doesn't really have a style anymore. It's just they win. Like, the difference between Bo Bartlett and Mitchell Messenbrink. Well, it's night and day, right?
It's the same with Iowa. I mean, look at up and down their lineup. They have a bunch of different stylistic guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to, harp on the Hawkeyes here, really. I mean, I think, you know, you have to have those different guys on your lineup. Now, it's just that Penn State never had a style to begin with.
Yeah. Well, could you say even, going away from the Iowa style, it could be, a sign of growth where it's just like, hey, we're not just trying to do, you know, whatever.
Get a mold.
One thing. We're trying to make our guys. Yeah.
No, I think it's good. I just think fans might not like it.
Right.
And also, like I said, it's good if you're winning.
Yeah.
When you're not winning, it can become frustrating. And like, hey, let's go back to Iowa. I like Iowa style. I like being able to yell stalling at opponents. Like, I can't do that as much anymore.
Yeah.
So should guys like that, I wish Ben was on to ask him. I kind of wanted to ask him the screw college route, the Aaron Pico. Should they just do that? I don't think they will.
Not right now. Not in an NIL era, right?
Good point. True.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to make your most money.
That's what the other thing I was thinking is, this feels like this era of Bo, Anthony Knox, Jax Forrest, and Marcus Blaise, it feels like Spencer, Dayton, Yanni, but with the added aspect of NIL. It's like, could these be the first guys that really make real significant money through NIL, committing out of high school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at a guy like Bo Bassett, who already has
NIL.
An insane, he already has NIL, and he has an insane following, social media following.
Dude, was at PA State Championships filming with Bo, and in between him watching his teammates' matches, middle schoolers were coming up to him and asking him for pictures. Sometimes other high schoolers ask him for pictures.
Yeah, he's already a superstar. How are you going to do that if you're already another high schooler? I guess if you're in a different weight, it's okay.
Yeah, I think they're younger high schoolers usually, but yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, these high schoolers are more known than, in terms of just name recognition, than probably 90% of the NCAA field. Bo Bassett. Probably not Jax. He's probably not as well known. But what is it about Bo that is so captivating to people?
I think he just posts a lot. I mean, not just that. Obviously,
it has to be something else.
Obviously, he wins a lot of matches, and if you watch him wrestle, the dude just doesn't stop. It is
machine gun mindset.
Yeah, his machine gun mindset is crazy. Mm-hmm. I think he also is very intentional with his, like, he has like a content plan, you know? Like, I was with him and he was
a superstar before this too.
Yeah.
I feel like the social media kind of came, I mean, it helps, but I feel like that came out of him kind of being a superstar. Because remember, like, middle school, like, mm-hmm. people were already like, this kid, you know? When other middle schoolers had more accolades, I feel like.
I don't know. Part of it probably has to do with the club he wrestles for, or this or that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Young Guns are one of the biggest clubs in the country. That's the club he kind of grew up with, I think. And there was like that Spencer Lee, next Spencer Lee mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah. Was put on him like thing. Really early.
Right, yeah. Because of the similarities of mm-hmm. everything. And then you get into the whole Bishop McCourt thing and the whole they're not allowed to wrestle. Mm-hmm. I think that actually boosted his
5 a.m. workout. It's everything. It's
the 5 a.m. workouts.
The whole thing. It's like, and then he wins. And then, but then he'll lose on a big stage and then come back and and win. You know, it's the whole thing. It's the whole the whole package, right?
He always puts himself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, he's gonna be the most popular guy in college wrestling.
Yeah,
for sure. He's the next big one for sure.
He's probably the most high profile high school wrestler ever.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, probably in terms of sheer not lore.
Lore.
Well, because I'm saying like you get guys like Chance Marsteller, Gary Kolat,
mm-hmm.
who, but like. Now with social media and access, like you used to not be able to watch those guys wrestle unless you literally showed up to this tournament. So it just used to be word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's this undefeated four timer.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Beating the crap out of everybody. He's a freak. He's going to be a four time NCAA champ. And now we kind of like actually get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like more people, you know, now nationwide, it can be known other than just hardcore wrestling circles,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, there's this crazy four-time Pennsylvania state champ. He's the number one overall. He's the best recruit mm-hmm. of all time. Now, so we know, like, okay, Bo's, like, obviously an insane recruit. He's not going to be probably number one overall in his class, though. He might be.
I think he might be number two or not.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not, like, head and shoulders above the other guys in his class. So the lore is bigger with guys who have come before, but because of everything we said, he's going to be the most popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I'm saying. Like, most popular, not necessarily like he's number two behind Jax Forrest.
Yeah.
in his class. Yeah. I think he's also going to be one of those guys who people like the same amount of people who love to watch him are going to hate, like there's going to be that same amount of people who hate
depends on where he goes to college.
You're already seeing it though. Like,
yeah,
when we post
really
videos of him,
I feel like Bo's not that hated.
Yeah,
it's equal. It's like
it is. Equal it's split, equal.
I feel like I don't know about equal.
Well, people are already giving a hard time about like how it, like that he was held back.
Oh, the whole age
like,
thing.
How old is he?
We post about him, and then they're like, "Who's that kid that beat him? And who's number one?"
Oh. Zepeda.
Zepeda, they're like Zepeda's son, like stuff like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to come with success. Like,
yeah,
there's always going to be.
I remember one of the first people I covered, like my first event at Flow Wrestling was like the 2022 U.S. Open. And I followed Jesse Mendez through the U.S. Open. He wrestled at the senior level. He was still in high school. And every time we posted about him, everyone was like, Swiderski's son. Like,
yeah,
that's just what.
That's just social media for you. But I feel like everybody who I actually talked to about Bo, like, is like.
Oh, for sure. And that's it, wrestling
or
in
just
general,
at least
though.
Curious. Like, how good is he going to be? How good is he actually going to be?
It's rare that you run into a hater in real life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're all online.
For sure. What, so look, being the most popular high school wrestler of all time, what expectations come with that?
I mean, I think it's I think it's clear. It's like NCAA champ right away.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is.
I feel like knowledgeable people aren't going to have that expectation. No.
Really? After seeing him.
Just be international.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's probably going to be. What weight do you think he's going to go?
He still has two years in high school.
Going at 49.
Years of high school. So, okay. I need 2 more years of high school. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like if you throw him into the college field right now, like.
Come on, son.
My expectation, but.
Do you think. All right. Maybe a little sidetrack. Do you think it's better for his popularity if he stays in high school for 2 more years or if he reclassifies and enters college? Like, do you think that would be
after
like,
1 more year?
Would that make more like news? Would people be more interested or just like let it build?
I kind of feel like it can't build much more.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like do another year of high school, maybe go win a junior world title or a junior world medal. Mm-hmm. Win another PA state title. It's not like he can be a four-timer.
Right. So, like, and he missed his first year already.
So it might be then just parlay that right into like
yeah,
going into reclassifying and going into college.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Because yeah, that would make it even bigger to where you're like, oh man, you have this kid who's you know otherworldly, so popular, and then,
well, then
like,
the real
oh, he's
thing
going to
be,
college early. Now.
Yeah, if he went to college early. And then he proves all the age elitists like wrong. And then if he comes out and like says something like that,
yeah,
like this was for all the people that ragged on my age, and then he went and then he actually won an NCAA title as like a true freshman.
Yeah.
After reclassifying, that would add to the insane lore and popularity.
Lore. I love the word lore.
Lore.
JD's word of the day.
Are we going till 10 or
we can go however long we want.
Okay.
I'm kind of liking the Bo Bassett talk.
I know. It is fun to talk about him.
How much more popular will he get in college?
Depends what school he goes to.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think it's Iowa or Penn State for him.
Which is better in terms of popularity? Iowa or Penn State?
Michigan.
Penn State's obviously the best team. I still think you can become a bigger megastar at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
It's not by a lot, but and maybe you could say, okay, but you're going to become the best wrestler at Penn State. So long-term plan, that will grow you the most.
Right.
The brand. But in terms of sheer eyeballs on you, talked conversations about you, there's still no place like Iowa.
Well, also just an environment that feeds into the hype, you know. Like I think Penn State, a part of their success probably is how like low the guys stay, like about, you know what I mean? Like they don't pump themselves up too much. Where
Carter Starace, come on, son.
Well, Carter, yeah, there's Carter for sure. But like, I mean, I feel like at Iowa, like the Brands brothers will do that with you, you know, like they'll help pump you up. Whereas like at Penn State, it's less of that. Carter's kind of an outlier at Penn State.
Carter said he was going to piss on a dude's grave right before NCAA finals.
Yeah.
If that's not.
That's fair.
But to my point, I think if an Iowa guy said that, everyone's like.
Yeah, it would go through.
It's a bigger deal. That kind of. Yeah. I don't want to say flew under the radar. Like, we talked about it a lot.
A lot of people just brush it off as, like, regular Starace stuff.
Yeah, that's what I feel like it gets brushed off as Carter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if an Iowa guy does it, it becomes more the brand
of Iowa. Someone in the Facebook chat said he also said he'll punch the Maryland coach, LeMayo.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Now, would it be better... I feel like Bo can't go heel. It's not in his...
No.
Like, it would be fake. Like, Bo's such a nice kid. Like, he's not going to really talk smack.
Yeah.
He's always very respectful.
Yeah.
So he's different than, like, Carter Starace in that way. Would you become a bigger megastar if you went heel at Iowa versus Spencer Lee, respectful of your opponent?
I don't think he ever goes heel.
That's what I'm saying. He can't, but I'm saying which... makes you a bigger megastar.
I think you go heel at Iowa. It definitely makes you a bigger star.
Gets you talked about more, but Spencer Lee.
It's also hard to be a star at Penn State where, like,
there's so many stars.
Yeah, it's so easy to fade into the like think Nick
just
Lee,
another three timer.
Nick Lee was a two-time national champ, and like you look at all the other guys that were on a team with him, and you talk about a lot, a significant amount of them before you start talking about Nick Lee. But like he was insane, you know. So like there's and there's a lot of Penn State wrestlers that are like that. So I mean, even like Zane Rutherford was getting overshadowed by like Bo Nickel, you know. And Zane Rutherford is one of the most dominant college wrestlers of all time. Yeah, and Jason Nolf. Like it's kind of nuts.
The difference, I think, is Bo's style. Look how much we talk about Mitchell Messenbrink, and he was just, I'm saying that, I'm doing air quotes if you're just listening, a finalist. He didn't even win.
Yeah.
But how much more did we talk about Mitchell than maybe some of the, I mean, they had 2 4-timers on their team this year, mm-hmm. who we talked about a lot. But we talked about Mitchell Messenbrink a lot, too, because of how he wrestles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also because of his weight class.
That's true. And there was Keegan and David.
Cara. And he's a
But we talk about it because they're so fun because of how he wrestles.
Yeah.
And I think we will get some of that with Bo.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's stuff like that we took, like, we talked maybe, like, Aaron and Carter aren't held in quite the same vein as your David Taylors, your Bo Nickels. They have another title than them, but they weren't as dominant. They didn't, you know, tech and pin guys at an insane rate like your Taylor, Nickel, Rutherford, Nolfs.
I think the reason I think that Iowa is the school that makes a bigger star is we just see it ourselves, like with numbers for like the Spencer Lee effect on things, or even the DeSanto effect on things, is much higher than like an Aaron Brooks, who's a 4-timer effect on things, or even a Carter Storace. Like Carter Storace is probably the most outspoken Penn State wrestler, and like the numbers really don't, like when we post a Carter Storace match, it's nothing really compared to when we post a Spencer Lee match. So
that's why I don't know. Iowa's God's country.
I think that's just, I think Iowa fans are like just more crazed and love it when they, and there's also, I think it comes back to like just having a star. Like Spencer Lee was Iowa's, like, I don't want to say only star, but like he was like the star of the show, you know? Whereas you have to share the stage a lot at Penn State. I know I kind of already said that, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, look at the crazy environment like Carver produces versus Penn State, like, you know, your Bryce Jordan Center, like, it gets back to, you know, maybe same number of fans, but the level of passion from Iowa fans is unmatched.
Yeah. I think you see, if Angelo Ferrari goes on to win national titles, I think you see him, like,
he could obviously go heel.
Yeah.
And I think
he will go heel. He's already gone heel, kind of.
He has.
And I think you see him blow up at Iowa.
Remember when he won Iron Man and put on his Instagram story, F Blair, mm-hmm. and flexed on the Blair coaches? I need that to happen at Iowa. Like, him flexing on, like, Tom Ryan in the corner.
Oh, my God.
And Instagramming F Tom Ryan. Speaking of which, he'll be on the show Thursday.
Tom Ryan will be on the show.
Yeah,
not Angela.
Tom Ryan, no, will be on the show Thursday to talk about transfers and NIL and stuff. So that'll be fun. It's a tease. It's what we in the business call a tease. There weren't that many questions, but were there?
Got four questions. One that I didn't really understand, but it's from our boy Avery. Well, I don't know if it's our boy. JD wants to fight him. But it said, can you make a squad? I don't really fully understand this question, but can you make a squad of only international wrestlers that can challenge for a team title? I don't know if that means for an Olympic team title or if they're talking, if he's talking.
NCAA?
That's the way I take it.
NCAA? Like international guys who wrestle for other countries that.
If you brought them into college, they could.
Oh, yeah, that's what he means.
They could win a team title.
If you
have to be college age?
Yeah. Well, what is college age?
Yeah.
Up to 26, I believe.
I feel like Zare could win.
I don't know. What are the rules for us? Like, if you never took a college course, can you then just come in at 22 as a freshman? Yes. In some sports, you...
Yeah, Brock Hardy did. Well, he wasn't 22, but he was like 20.
There might be rules for missions, like...
Yeah.
I think it's just the first day you start class.
It's different. I looked into it.
It's different sport to sport.
It's different for each sport. Really? Each sport has exceptions. Because like,
the way we learned it was your clock starts the first as soon as you're enrolled in classes. You have a five-year clock. Now, yeah. COVID switched that up a little bit.
Yeah, but it depends on... So, like guys who play minor league baseball, they can like come back and then play football when they're in like their like 20s. But I don't know if you can do that in other sports.
But if you never entered college,
I don't know.
I think you can I think you can enroll in school at any age and wrestle for that
team. I'm saying maybe. I'm just saying I don't know for sure.
I feel like...
And I know it's sometimes...
I'm just going to say yes.
Okay. Anybody, international wrestling.
If there's anyone in the chat that can prove me otherwise, I'll delete your message.
You need to give them a year of folk-style training. Because I think even your best guys, if they're not folk-style trained, like, it's going to be tough for them if they get underneath.
Yeah. I feel like Zare could win right now.
Yeah, especially heavyweight. Like, when you're not getting cradled up.
Yeah.
Really, probably. You can...
Mm-hmm. And then
Tazutinov, he's college age.
He wouldn't. I don't think he'd be able to make 197.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, maybe.
You'd have to get like an 86.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's just pretend he can make 97. Fine.
Again,
an 86.
Okay. Do you think you would need to give them like a year? Like, insert your top guys. Your Yazdanis. Sitikovs, I think they might win.
I think they'd just win.
They would just win. But what about that next kind of tier below?
Yeah.
You don't give them any folk style training.
Name someone.
You just plop them in like a Kruglev.
Oh, man.
Dude, Kruglev.
I still think he would. So good. I still think.
But some of our guys are really good, like him versus Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, that'd something be a like match.
That would be a good
We're getting really good. Like our top guys, you know, maybe. You go, yeah.
Krugley, if you definitely put him in the finals, if we're just talking team score wise.
Yeah, you put him in the finals. For sure.
There's not somebody who can, like, take top and just.
Yeah, maybe
go,
like.
Like, go to work.
Tanner Sloan.
Yeah. Somebody can, like, toss boots on him, stall him out because they just got nothing for him on bottom. It's a possibility if you give them zero folk style training. I mean, if you bring them in and literally just give them a season.
Three-point takedown changes things, though, too, for this argument.
I think it's easier at the upper weights, too. Like, I think it's tougher at the lower weights.
Weightist.
Yeah.
Weightist. I am.
Yeah, you heard it here. Yeah.
But yeah, you got to feel like Spencer Lee would beat pretty much anyone in the world.
Spencer Lee's no longer a college athlete.
I know, but I'm saying, like, if you plugged in, like,
right.
any of the...
But now, like, a Richie Figueroa.
Mm-hmm. Against like Aguyev and
in folk style. On zero folk style training.
Yeah.
You gotta go with Aguyev.
I don't know.
How far down do you go until you start taking the college guy?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't really know how much of a difficult time these guys would have not getting like tilted. Like, is a wrist tilt just so unfamiliar to them?
Well, even on the feet, just start passing legs and stuff, you know?
I don't know.
We're finishing a single. They're not used to guys just, like, rolling under and passing legs, that kind of thing. I feel like it's different at lower weights where guys are a little more athletic.
Yeah, I think so, too. I still probably give the edge to most of the international guys.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer Avery's question, yes.
Yes, for sure you can. To challenge for a team title, yes. I like that question. That was fun.
Did you make a team that beats Penn State? You definitely could if you just take all the number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gotta Yeah. You got to feel like these guys are such elite athletes.
What about a just Russia versus folk just style. Penn State duel? Folk style.
Folk style.
Who wins?
Aguyev beats Braden Davis.
Yeah.
Abbasgadze beats Nagao.
Yeah.
Nagao on top.
Yeah, it could be.
Ooh.
It could be interesting. Mamadov, Bartlett.
Mamadov.
It's close.
Mamadov.
70.
But again, it's like, what if Bo rides him?
Yeah.
He would take.
Well, like, what if he rides him? Okay, he rides him. He gets like a point for riding time and prevents a point.
And a couple stallings. A couple.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
I feel like Haynes would win. Whoever. Rush is not that great at 70.
Who was it?
Sitikov versus Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You favor Sitikov. Mitchell,
yeah.
I feel like not much top, really. 79. Who's our 79?
Usmanov?
Usmanov. Yeah.
Usmanov.
World champ.
Versus Carter. It's a match.
First team all jacked match.
I feel like Carter would ride him out.
Yeah, folk style, I would go with Carter.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Brooks. Or no, 86.
Nafanov.
Yeah.
Nafanov versus Brooks.
Nafanov wasn't the rep.
It would be Nafanov versus.
He was the rep at Euro Qualifier.
Versus Truex. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nafanov probably wins that match.
Yeah.
And then Brooks beats whoever is at 92. And then Greg probably beats their heavyweight.
Yeah. So it's like 5-5?
It's close. Yeah.
It's fun.
Penn State versus Russia.
Folk style.
Let's make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, we only had 4 questions. One person said, do people immediately root as hard against those that wear headgear during freestyle matches as I do?
I don't root against them. I assuming this was a shot at Thomas.
Or Kolodzic, right? Doesn't Kolodzic wear
Kolodzic
headgear too?
The nerds, the Northwestern and the Princeton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's who
well,
they're both in JRTC now.
But it's in the JRTC thing.
The guys who have to go on and probably actually have like a real career.
Protecting their image.
Yeah, I saw Israel Yaya's dad was like, yes, he wants to.
Yeah. I don't like it, but.
Well, the other guy, their opponent, has the option.
He did it to, who'd he do it to?
David Taylor.
Yeah.
The 2014 US Open.
David Taylor?
Mm-hmm. David Taylor walked up with a headgear and JB was like, take it off.
That's so rough too, because you know David was wearing it because one of his ears was blown up probably at the time.
Yeah, probably. Because right after the college season.
Sucks, yeah.
Who wins at, I don't, this is probably a Kozak question. Oh, I don't know. JD, you too. I don't want to diss your international knowledge. Who wins at 86, Aaron Brooks or Adam Sateev?
Well, this is historical.
This is a historical
question.
Yep. I don't know Adam Sateev that well, so I'm going to go Aaron Brooks. But
I feel like Sateev was smaller.
I was going to say, I feel like Brooks would be way bigger, too.
Way bigger. So, yeah, you go Brooks. But if they're the same weight, I'd probably go Sateev. And Adam is Bouvesar's brother.
I want to say that Sean Bormet, my old coach, had a match where he like almost beat Adam Sateev or something. Like
Adam was kind of insane. Cup. Like if you go and watch, he has like an insane highlight reel. Super good with like inside trips, wizard kicks, and stuff like that, which led to an insane highlight reel. He wasn't quite as good as his brother in terms of, I mean, his brother's like the GOAT. So, but he was still an Olympic champion. So I forget. I think he won a couple world.
I think he was like a world and Olympic champ. Yeah. This is the last question. Is Michigan going to become the new, in quotes, Iowa in the NIL age if they keep getting so many transfers? And I think by that they mean like the new, like second place.
Second best.
So Adam was 2-time world champ and 1-time Olympic.
That's it.
That's it. I guess he did compete some at 85, but because that's where he won Olympic gold was 85.
Wow.
But given the fact that he also, I mean, the year before he won it at 76 Worlds, and Aaron will likely move up to 97 after this, from the sounds of it. You probably get the size advantage to Brooks. I'm still gonna go. I'm still gonna ride with Adam. Okay. So
Tyler, what was the question about Michigan though?
Someone was basically asking if Michigan's going to become like the new second place team in the NIL age if they keep getting so many transfers.
No, I think it's going to be a pretty big rotating door.
I think you're going to see Michigan's transfers slow down soon too. They've
also everybody's getting transfers.
Yeah,
it's not like
that's what I'm saying. I don't know like why Michigan gets so much flack. They had like one more transfer because than Iowa and Penn State
because they get a lot of high level.
Well, they got so many last year. Yeah, that's why they got what five.
We're all like established.
Mm-hmm. And I actually take issue with people calling them, I think people call them mercenaries because they're only on the team for 1 year. But if you think about it, like they're only doing that because they're just taking guys who graduated from their last school. So I don't know. But I do think that you're going to see a lot of, Michigan is doing a pretty good job recruiting out of high school the last couple of years. So I think that, especially with COVID slowing, like the COVID years going away, I think you're going to see less grad transfers at least. And I think that, but yes, I think Michigan is going to be an amazing team for the years to come.
I'm not saying they're not going to like ever finish in second place again. They definitely could. It's just, I think that's going to be a pretty big road. It's not going to be a set.
Yeah.
I think they're going to finish in first place every year from now on.
The thing is for Michigan though, is they have jumped to where like, before it was like, all right, just get, like maybe they can get a trophy, and now it's almost feels like an expectation over the last
year. Where it's a down year if they don't, it's a disappointment. If they
don't. Yeah, I mean that's what it feels like. Yeah, right, Tyler.
To me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you hate it, but you gotta admit, the Michigan Mercenaries is a great nickname.
So stupid. I just get frustrated because like I don't like people. I mean, I'm obviously insanely biased here, but I don't like people dogging Michigan for transfers when so many, like the other, like Iowa and Penn State had just as many transfers on their lineups or like one less or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think you can give praise to like a school like Cornell for doing so well with no transfers, but I don't think that I would not, even if Michigan had no transfers in the future and another team ahead of them had more transfers than them, I wouldn't dog that team for having transfers.
That's kind of my thing.
Transfers is part of recruiting.
Yeah, for sure. It's not like a low character thing at all, which a lot of people want to make it, which I think is just silly because your team's going to do it too, unless you're a fan of an Ivy League team. It's similar to the whole guys transferring countries. I don't think it makes you any less of anything, you know, character-wise, whatever, but it makes me appreciate the guys who didn't maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Right? Like you appreciate a Cornell a little more. You don't knock the other teams for doing it. Doesn't take anything away from them. They absolutely should. Mm-hmm. You're crazy if you don't. But then it also makes you appreciate teams that can't or won't or didn't a little more.
Well, I think the reason why people don't like it is they're like, oh, well, you recruited these guys and now you're bringing people in over them, right? And like you need to be loyal to your guy. And so I think that mindset and that opinion, it obviously doesn't acknowledge that landscape has changed. And it's not like, okay, you have your guys and those are your guys forever. It's like, no, it's a different world.
Most interesting things at World Team Trials last year was during the press conference, Jason Nolf got asked a question about how Kyle Dake got brought into NLWC. And he said that like he was frustrated at first, but then he realized like his coach's jobs are to bring in the best team as that possible that they can. And his job is to make sure that there's nobody better than him or whatever. It was like a really interesting perspective that I think a lot of people at Penn State, at NLWC, have been like forced to have because of just the nature of the success of the program. And I think that any team that wants to compete with them is going to have to get used to that. Like Ed Ruth talked about how he felt like his job was never safe. And that's like Ed Ruth we're talking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he had to be the guy, or they would find someone else to be the guy. And it's also, I think that that's just like an edge that Penn State has. Like Michael Beard was an All-American, and they brought in Max Dean over him.
You get the luxury of that when you are the best program.
Yes.
Collegially and internationally, where guys are going to think, I have to be here to be my best. It's a little different if you're at a different program and you get recruited over, and it's like, well, I can go somewhere else and be better.
Maybe be an All-American, whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, and I'm not saying it should be this way or it necessarily is, I do think there are right fits for people. I do think somebody can have more success somewhere other than Penn State than if they were to go to Penn State. But the vast majority of people are going to think, this is where I need to go to be my best, because this is the best room with the best coaches. So if they get recruited over,
I
got to figure it out.
I also want to say, if you'll let me defend my home team one more time, I do think that like the 2020 year was like kind of a punt year for Michigan. That's why I was on the starting lineup. Like they had a lot of guys Olympic redshirt and stuff, so they benefited a lot from the COVID extra year. So they kept a lot of these guys around: Stevon Michich, Logan Massa, Miles Amin. There's more I want to say, but like they kept a lot of these guys around for like 7 years, and a lot of their money was tied up with these guys. It kept them from being able to go recruit kids out of high school.
Yeah.
And I think that you saw a little bit of a transition period for a couple of years where they're pulling guys from the portal to like kind of make sure they had a lineup. But I think you're going to see, as that cycle like comes back through, I think you're going to see them go for less transfers. And if they keep going for transfers, I don't care either.
Yeah. Well, and even like to what both of you guys are saying, if you're an athlete at Michigan and you're whatever, a true freshman or getting recruited there, and you're like, wouldn't you want your coaches to want to be the best team in the country? Like, wouldn't you want to see them do like try to bring in somebody or try to bring in training partners that are going to make your team better? And then, rather than just be like, no, we're good. Like we could have other people here that are going to, you know, maybe challenge for All-American or win titles, but like, no, we don't need them. Like we're good. It's like, no, you want to be the best. Like right, you want to be coached by guys that want to be the best. So I feel like that's like the mindset you have to,
you have to have it. I think people who really don't like the transfer portal and the idea of the transfer portal teams that use it is because it takes away from the idea of you go somewhere, you put in your time, your hard work, you get your reward. It's kind of the rich get richer type thing. You can buy your team. It's putting down the little man type, right? that mentality, where now it's not just hard work and grit and determination that can, which I don't think is the case, but that's kind of what the transfer portal embodies.
That's why people hate it. But like, it works the same the other way, and we know that, right? Where you see programs like Ryder or Lock Haven, where guys maybe do get recruited over, and then they're like, all right, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to go to a program that's going to take me and wants me, and then I'm going to earn All-American.
And that's kind of like what I was talking about, where I think there is fit for a lot of people. Bryce Meredith talked a lot about it when he left NC State and went to Wyoming. He was like, I benefited a lot from being the guy. I got the time and attention that I deserved being the best guy on the team.
Yeah.
Where I wasn't just another guy. And, you know, obviously a backup even compounds that exponentially. That's the word I was saying.
It's 10 o'clock. It's been an hour and a half. I don't know if you have anything.
We got to get out of here. We got to Suns and Moons.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to celebrate the
eclipse day, baby. We're on the path of totality.
Yeah.
Not in Texas.
Yeah.
Yes, in Texas.
Yes, in Austin, too. Hopefully those clouds peak out. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Ben, for joining, even if it was only for 30 minutes. Thank
I'll make
you.
Sure he gets docked for them.
Yes, Doc is paid. Doc Christian's pay entirely.
Yep. We can just take this as his fantasy payment.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Right.
I don't know why he didn't just take a late flight home, do the Ben method, but he wants to get home probably to go look at the eclipse or something. So we're going to go check out the eclipse. We'll be back Thursday with Coach Tom Ryan. See you then.
Love you.